RadioInfluence.com.
Oh, he got him in the white trunks. He hurt him.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the count. Wow. Here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's all over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. It is Sunday, November the 15th. I am your host, Jason Floyd, and come up here on this edition of the podcast. Going to have four interviews for you. You're going to hear from a fighter who's going to be making his official UFC debut come here on Saturday night, UFC 255. That is Luis Cossi. Also, you're going to hear from a former UFC fighter, Zach Otto. We have not seen Zach since March of last year. He's going to be fighting coming up here this week, Cage Aggression 29. Talk to him about his fight, also his move up to the middleweight division. Then you're going to hear my conversation with Thomas Powell, who's going to be fighting on Friday night, LFA 95. And the final conversation you're going to hear is with Dwight Matters. He is an amateur heavyweight out of Jackson's Wink MMA. He's going to be fighting a part of that Cage Aggression 29 card that Zach Otto is going to be a part of. So those four interviews come up here on this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, as always, podcast is available on every major podcasting platform. And if you like the show, really would appreciate you hitting that five-star review on Apple Podcasts. That really does help me out a lot. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Luis Cossi, who's going to be a part of Saturday's UFC 255 as he makes his official UFC debut. Of course, we saw him back on the Contender Series with him and his brother. Both got UFC contracts. So here's my conversation I had last week with Luis Cossi. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be a part of UFC 255. Luis, man, I appreciate time. Official UFC debut. Does it feel like the official UFC debut, or do you kind of feel like Contender Series was kind of that moment?
I'm sure once I'm in the cage, everything will feel real, you know?
Of course, that was a great night for you back there in August. Would you call that the greatest night in your mixed martial arts career to this point?
Yeah, by far, for sure. I mean, I got to meet Dana White. My brother fought that night. He won. I fought against a pretty tough guy and ended up winning the way I wanted to. I was unhurt. Like, it couldn't end better. You know, scored contracts for somewhere I've been trying to get to work for a good majority of my life. So it felt good, man.
Is there something about that night that sticks out to you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty emotional night for me, my team, and my brothers, you know. It was just like a dream come true, finally getting the contracts and being in there. Because now, like, the real journey starts of being in the UFC. But it felt good, like, the whole entire experience, the way they treated us. It was nothing I ever felt before.
When you have a fight that ends that quickly, is there much looking back on that fight obviously you're going to look at, you know, what you did well in the fight, but when you finish it that quickly, is there really much you can look at to say, okay, these are some things I need to improve on, or are you so hard on yourself, you always find something that you're like, I can correct that?
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple things I for sure, I can correct on, you know, when I blitz the guy off the bat, I mean, I won't do that again, but it was just something trying to catch him off guard. It was just fucking trying to bomb on him and see if I can catch him. He did a good job staying out of range, though. If I already just fucking closed the distance a little bit more, I felt like I would have caught him a little bit earlier. I know I have the power to knock these guys out, so.
Was that something you planned on doing, or was it just kind of like you just felt it and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this?
I kind of felt it when he stopped right there in front of me. He did a good job backing up, though. I should have took my time a little bit more. Like I said, I should have probably took my time with that blitz. I felt like I would have knocked him out pretty faster than I did, but I'm glad I still got the job done within like a minute or some shit.
I mean, like, we always hear about, okay, this person has this fighting style, that fighting style. And I kind of feel like read and react is kind of a fighting style that no one talks about, but pretty much that's a majority of what fighters are doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much just reacting on your opponent and whatnot and seeing how they're moving, you know. I remember after the first couple of blitzes, he was doing good. And then after that's when I stopped and I actually started breathing and thinking, you know, and started picking my shots. Cause after that, I started picking my shots. I kind of just took off from there.
And of course, now you got this fight here at UFC 255 against Sasha, 5-2 in his career. Were you even familiar with him before getting this fight?
No, I didn't know who he was, honestly.
When you and the team started kind of, looking at his film and, seeing what he does well, maybe what he doesn't do well, was there something that just really stuck out to you of like, man, he throws this combination, I got to be aware of this? Was there something about him that just stuck out to you, or do you just kind of feel like he offers what I've seen before?
Yeah, absolutely. He looks like a tough dude. I'm sure he's a little bit bigger than I am. I've seen that he used to fight at 185. I'll be the smaller guy in this division for a while. I don't feel like I'm that much smaller, though. I've trained with people bigger than me my whole entire life. Like, my coach is 6'4", my striking coach is 6'4", so I work with him daily. My jiu-jitsu coach, my MMA coach, is fucking 6'2", a 320-pound guy. So I'm not worried about these guys fucking thinking they're going to be a lot bigger than me. I train with people bigger, stronger than me all the fucking time, and I feel just fine, you know. He doesn't surprise me anywhere, honestly. I think they claim he's a stand-up fighter or some shit, but I'm going to look to fucking check his chin and put his lights out. So,
do you prefer training with bigger sparring partners?
I would say both. People my size, even smaller. The smaller guys are fast, you know. So they'll get you faster when you want to get your reaction time. Bigger guys tend to be slower. There are some pretty big, fast guys. But I would say both. You need both the best worlds, you know, because you need to train your eyes for the speed, for the reaction time. Then you also need to train with strong people so you can get that fucking muscle conditioning in, so you have a grasp at reality of how strong someone could be.
You mentioned about, hey, I'm going to be the smaller guy in this division for a while. Is it just something that you're working on the strength and conditioning to kind of get up to where, a lot of UFCers, in your division walk around at?
Yeah, to be honest, I never really lifted weights before. I used to lift weights here and there, but I've never really stayed committed. And then when I went to UFC PI in September, they gave me a pretty basic, but it was a very effective weightlifting schedule. It was only 3 days a week, but I noticed a shit ton of a difference in my power, my conditioning, how long I could sustain my power. I noticed my physique changed. I got a little bit bigger. I can notice on the scale I gained a couple pounds, but I look leaner. I look a lot leaner. So I like it. I really committed to weights before until this camp. So I'm excited, man. I feel like I have a lot more power. I can sustain it longer. So I'm excited to see you out there and go hard, perform.
Is there a reason why you just weren't committed to weight training in the past?
I just felt like I was doing all the wrong shit. There'd be days where I maybe lifted too hard, trying to go overdo it in the fucking gym. And then fucking, I try to go striking or something. I feel like a robot. Like, it wasn't there, But now when I told the guys at the USCPI about it, they made it super simple, something I've never seen before. A bunch of different workouts. And yeah, it was instead of fucking hitting 10 to 12 reps, sometimes you would hit only 3 reps, but you do 8 sets. So it was different. It was just more focused on power. That's what I feel like it was. But at the same time, I didn't feel that robotic feeling. I didn't feel like stiffness. I feel really good. I would end it off conditioning every single time. So, but overall, I feel really well.
Yeah, I know in just talking to various fighters who've been at the PI and they have that initial meeting with the team out there and they do all those testing on you to figure out, how to maximize your performance outside of weight training. Was there something they said to you about how they believe you can maximize your performance?
Yeah, absolutely. They're pretty much just telling me lift more and eat more. Yeah, they're pretty much saying more protein, lift more, just putting more time into it. I noticed I wasn't putting a lot more recovery as I should. In this camp, I put a lot more recovery with right and stuff like that. Getting massages, stretching a lot more like I used to. Hitting the pool and stuff like that. Just kind of focusing on recovery while I'm focusing on my heart training. I can feel the difference, though. It feels good.
What's the difference that the fans will see from you next week as opposed to what we saw in the Contender Series?
You'll definitely see a better guy, a more physique built dude. I'll be faster. I'll have a lot more power. I'll be a lot more calculated on my blitzes. That's for sure. I definitely won't try to blitz a guy off the cage. I'm sure they're fucking expecting that, but I'll definitely be a lot more technical. I've been doing stand up for a good majority here for a few years now. My coach has spent a lot of time with me. So realistically, I only went out there to try to blitz that guy because I was trying to knock his ass out within seconds. But shit, if this guy gives me an opportunity to do that too, I'll fucking do it right to him too.
In terms of with this being now your second time, you know, doing the whole, you know, fight week in Vegas, obviously first time it was Contender Series, but now, I mean, but you've been there, you know what to expect. Will you alter anything you did this time from your learning experience the first time?
No, I'll just keep it the same. When we're down there, we're pretty much just training, you know, training and hanging out. You can't really do too much. They have you fucking locked up, quarantined and shit. I think they let you out for like a day or two, but a good majority of the time, I mean, they take care of you really well. So just really focus on eating well down there, taking it easy at the same time, like getting good work, you know, because you don't want to fucking risk any injury or nothing like that. You don't really have too much to work with other than like being in your room, you know, like they give you a workout room, but it's not like you have a treadmill or you fucking bike or anything like that. So, I mean, you work with what you work with, but it was still pretty good. I mean, my team will be there, so I'll be fine.
I remember I had one fighter. He said to me, he goes, yeah, the biggest thing I learned is bring an internet cable because sometimes the Wi-Fi sucks.
Oh, shit. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, maybe you were just in the right room and he was in the wrong room. Yeah. He said, he goes, man, I wanted to stream some movies, play a little video games. He goes, the connection just wasn't good enough. So I learned bring the internet cable.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen to me.
Like during fight week, are you so in the zone that everything is about the fight or do you try to kind of, you know, get your mind off what, you know, it is a fight week?
I just try to enjoy the moment, you know. I've been working so hard to fucking be here. Not I'm the hard work or anything, but this is somewhere I've wanted to be for a long time. Like I've been put a lot of years into this, even dreaming as a little kid trying to be here. And it felt like a long fucking time. So more than anything, man, I'm just trying to enjoy my time here. Fucking just enjoy it, really. Just enjoy the journey, fucking being down there. Because you're only down there for a week when you're fighting, you know. It's not like you're living this the whole entire time. So I try to enjoy every single aspect about it, being down there, hanging out with my team, bullshitting and stuff, keeping cool, calm, collected. I do think about the fight. I do think about the fight a lot. But at the same time, I feel calm just being there, you know. I feel like this is where I need to be.
And, of course, we get to see your fight here, part of UFC 255 from the UFC Apex there in Las Vegas. I really appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything find out on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, I'll throw a shout-out to all my family and friends that support me from Humboldt County, NorCal. They'll be back on the res. My team, Lost Boys, everybody that got me ready for this fight, my coaches, my sponsors, Get Right and Aurelio Chiropractic, and everybody that supports me and my brother. Thank you, guys.
And there was my conversation with Lewis. I appreciate him taking some time out of his training schedule to talk to me about his UFC debut coming up here on Saturday night, UFC 255. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Zach Otto. Of course, we have not seen Zach since his last fight in the UFC back in March of last year. So had a chance to catch up with him, talk to him about his matchup here at Cage Aggression 29 coming up this week. Also, a good amount of the conversation was his decision to move up to the 185-pound division. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's going to fight for the first time since March of 2019, Zach Otto. Zach, man, appreciate the time. Obviously, it has been a long time since you've been there in competition, but I know, you know, obviously you've been, you know, your role as a coach there at the gym. So how much of the last year and a half has been more about you being a coach as opposed to being a fighter?
Yeah, a lot of this last year and a half has been that. Unfortunately, just after my last fight, I had some injuries, had a bad eye issue, and then I also had a lot of stuff that I had done to my left knee. So I had to have knee surgery that April of 19, and then that took, you know, a good 9 months to be back from that. And then as we rolled into the end of the year in early 2020, we had bought a building that we moved our gym into. So there was a big gym renovation project that we had to do for a couple months. And of course, just getting into the gym enough to like get a workout in or to teach classes. All of our spare time other than that was going to the new location. And we did, I'd say, about 90% of the projects by ourselves. So, you know, we had some fighters and stuff that came to the gym to help us out. But Jake, Clip, Solo, and myself, we did the majority of all the renovations. So once that finally got done, then we ran into COVID. So it's just kind of been like one thing after the next. And not that opportunity to really compete. You know, even the UFC wasn't doing events for a while. And I was out of contract and just kind of waiting around for that next contract to come in at 170. And, you know, some opportunities were coming up on short notice. I was trying to throw my name out there, but some of them were so short of notice. And it takes me so much to make that weight class. I couldn't even make weight in that amount of time. You know, some situations were like in 3-day notice or something like that. And I need like at least a couple weeks. And even just trying to keep my weight down, walking around at that, and just how I feel with my weight cuts and stuff, I thought, you know, I think it's time for me to go back to where I started and go back to middleweight and see how I feel with that. And let's go back, take a regional fight or two and see how I feel with that. And if I'd be, you know, obviously I got to win these fights to hope to get back into the UFC, but also get a chance to see how I feel at that weight class and if I want to stay here. And I really do like it. My weight's been really good for this weight class, and I'm walking around at like a solid 200 pounds, and I don't have to wither my way all the way down to 188 and then cut all this water from there. And so
I was going to mention that with this fight here coming up at Cage Aggression on the 20th, the fact that it's at 185 pounds. So, I mean, are you walking around a little heavier than you would for a 170 fight, or are you kind of pretty much where you've always been?
I'm pretty much where I've always been. My walk around weight and stuff, it's not like I tried to put on weight to fill out in the weight class. I just didn't want to go through such a brutal weight cut anymore. So instead of killing myself and doing a lot of my training that's focused on making the weight class, I've just been basically focused on being the best fighter I can be and eating clean, but eating the portions I need to go into my next workout recovered and ready to give it full till. And I just been feeling fresh during my workouts. And instead of, you know, going into a workout with no energy because I have no carbs and completely drained out, and I'm doing all this slow twitch type stuff to burn the calories so that I can make the weight class, I'd have to go on like long runs all the time, which is really not what an athlete should be doing, especially in our sport. I mean, it is an endurance type sport, but also at the same time, like, you know, it's only 5-minute rounds. You need that explosiveness and stuff. And I don't need to do all that stuff anymore to make this weight class. And then on top of that, I mean, I would be completely sucked down, and then I would have to cut like 13 pounds of water 24 hours out. And now I'm looking at going into my practices like full of energy, you know, and performing really well. And then I plan on doing like a 6 or 7 pound water cut. So everything's like cut in half, I guess.
I got to imagine the stress must be down so much, because like I've talked to other guys who've kind of been in your similar situation. They're just like, so much of the camp is about, okay, I need my weight here, and this is, I need to be this weight by this date. So is it kind of like for you of like, it's like, man, I just, there's not really a worry. I mean, obviously there's going to be natural worries as an athlete about, you know, various things, but having that weight loss is like, do you kind of feel like a new person in a way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there were times in the UFC making that weight class where I didn't have the longest notice in the world. And, you know, you're talking about maybe an international trip, so you've got a long flight and you don't have all the proper food and water at the right times that you need it and stuff. And it would kind of set me back a little bit. And it would be like getting on that scale would be a big hurdle. It'd be a fight in itself. And it'd be like, okay, I had to go through all that. I earned my show money. Now I gotta. Now there's a second fight. Okay, now let's start thinking about the fight itself and get that win bonus. You know, it was like, it was a battle to make that weight, and I'm tired of it, and I want to see how I perform without having to do that. You know, shots. You know, there'd be some shots that I took in a fight that would affect me in a way that I could easily take those shots in the gym, and you know, I'm maybe struggling after like a TKO loss, like wondering like why that shot affected me so much and stuff. And I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the weight cut, and we'll see how it goes if I don't have to do that weight cut.
And you got Clarence Jordan here. He's 11-5-1 in his career here. Cage Gresham, 29. You know, as you kind of develop, you know, analyzed him as a fighter, is there something particular about his abilities that jumps out to you just when you hear his name?
Well, I was familiar with him on the regional scene when I was coming up back, you know, 2012, 2013, 14. We were both like similar weight class at the time, and in that same regional circuit, you know, the upper Midwest. And he was winning fights and I was winning fights, and I thought we were going to fight each other back then. And then, you know, years later now, he's still active. I'm still active. So now it's time to finally do it. I remember him as being a good wrestler, with some decent stand up, you know, pretty well-rounded guy. He's got a couple submissions on his record, couple finishes. He doesn't seem to gas out. You know, he's just a good, well-rounded fighter. But I think he's a very good regional fighter, and I think I'm one of the best fighters in the world. So I'm excited to go out there and show the difference in skill set, and you know, show that there's levels to this. So
with you being up 15 pounds here, will we notice something particularly different about you at this weight class as opposed to what we've seen at 170?
I'm a hell of a lot more explosive. Like I said, I don't know if that's the training or the regiment that I needed. But man, I would like a lot of my fast twitch would just kind of dwindle. I'd get in like this slow twitch kind of where I got to do like these long exercise routines that burn the calories and stuff that I needed. And now I'm going to practice just like, I'm like crazy strong and super explosive. So hopefully that follows and transitions over to more, you know, back to finishing people and stuff. So,
you know, obviously everyone's got motivations, and obviously winning is obviously a motivation of everyone. But for you, is part of the motivation of showing the UFC matchmakers here of like, okay, you saw the Zach Otto 170, but this is a Zach Otto 185 where I'm not cutting, you know, the weight that you were cutting. I mean, is that the one of the biggest motivations with this fight?
Yeah, I think with my skill set and stuff and athletic ability and I've been in the game a long time. I think I deserve to be in the UFC. You know, I think my skill set, that's just where I should be fighting. That's where I should finish my career. I'm a UFC fighter, and yeah, I never had a losing record in the UFC, and I've been there 8 times. I think I want to get back there, but I want to perform better than I was. So how can I do that? I think a change in weight classes is the way to go. And I think, you know, I finished at welterweight at 4-4. Think if I can, you know, win this fight, I don't know what it's going to take to get back. Maybe another fight after this. I'm not sure. But I know I want to get back there, and I think I should be back there. And I think I can perform even better, way better at 185.
As you think about your mentality of the fight game, where it is right now as opposed to where it was before you entered the UFC, is there a major difference?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always worked with my brother on my striking and stuff like that, and that brought me a super long way. And then right as soon as I got into the UFC, we had brought another great striking coach on board, Solo, and he was only at the gym for like a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, like, I got my UFC call up, and you know, I boom boom, I fought like 2 times right away at the end of 2016, and now it's just kind of been like we've had those years together, you know what I mean, to keep developing. And even during COVID, like when a lot of people are maybe a little discouraged and not using this time the best that they could, I've really tried to like push on the gas pedal during this time, because I think like I can really get ahead of the curve. And I'm always constantly thinking about evolving and stuff. So I don't want to get too like specific, but I added new tools to my toolbox during this COVID time, because instead of just like constantly like in this time away from fighting too. So instead of being like, okay, I got to go back to my bread and butter, cause I got to get ready for this next fight. And then, well, I've got to get this fighter ready for this fight. And you know, it's like this constant grind. It's kind of gotten a chance to kind of reset a little bit. And then like, let's learn some new stuff. So I'm excited to go in there and show that too.
Obviously we've seen, you know, guys in your gym that have gone, you know, fought, whether it's Contender Series or in the UFC. Is there someone up and coming in your gym that we need to be keeping our eye out for, of, you know, maybe there's, you know, a couple that you think, man, in next year or so, these are fighters you gotta, you know, they're going to get some big opportunities.
Yeah. I was just last week with Jamie Simmons. He just gotten his UFC call up. So, well-deserved, and, you know, he'll be back, after this. He unfortunately had a loss this last weekend, but had a pretty tough matchup for his first one. But we've got the same night that I'm fighting, we have a lightweight named Jonas Flock, who I think with a win is right on the cusp. We've got a ton of people in the pipeline. Nelly Thompson, getting to be more experienced as a pro, and all the way down to the younger pros, Tyus and Javi. And then we've got guys that are turning pro that are total studs, Nick Klein, Wes Schultz. I mean, we've got a ton of people in the gym that are coming up. So you're going to see our gym around. I mean, all the way people that even have barely had amateur fights, but we're getting a ton of very credentialed wrestlers in the gym that are just starting, freak athletes with a ton of wrestling background, and, you know, all the way from them up to experienced amateurs, young pros, experienced pros. Like every segment along the way, we've got at least two or three guys that are total beasts.
Do you at all sometimes prefer to go with those young guys just because, you know, like, okay, they're giving me their all. Because I've talked to other fighters and say, you know what, I like going against those young guys in the gym just because I know when I'm looking for a hard session, these kids are going to bring it to me. Are you kind of the same way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and it's good to have that mix, because you get with the more experienced guys, we know how to drill and we're fast, but yet you don't, you know, you're being cool with each other. You know how to control your weapons. And then, you know, once in a while you got to go in there and you got to spar with one of these young, hungry guys that they don't really ignite. They don't know the control yet. And they're just like, you know, giving her hell. And you got to be like, whoa, like I got to watch out. You know, I got to mind my P's and Q's, because it's not all like very technical yet, because they're not as skilled. So stuff is maybe coming a little unorthodox and it's coming in hot, and you got to, it really, you know, keeps you in the fire a little bit, I think, which is important.
That's awesome. Of course, you got the fight coming up here next week, November the 20th, Cage Aggression number 29. Zach, as always, man, appreciate the time. Of course, I'll let know anything fight out on social media. And for anybody that's up in Wisconsin, wants to come get some work in the gym, where they can come to, man.
Yeah. Come to Pura Vida, man. Pura Vida Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Mixed Martial Arts here in Milwaukee. Got a growing, great team, super family oriented. I also want to throw a shout out to Rev Gear. They really, I'm even wearing a shirt. I actually didn't even do that on purpose, but, they really helped me out with gear and, you know, apparel and everything like that. So really appreciate them. And, hold on a second. And then, as far as Instagram and stuff, just my name, Zach Otto, Facebook, please follow me. And, yeah, stay tuned for this fight, Caged Aggression on the 20th.
And that was my conversation with Zach Otto. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup coming up here this week at Cage Aggression 29. And obviously his move up to 185 pounds, going to kind of see, interesting to see, what do we see as Zach Otto from what we saw at 170 now here at 185 pounds. Next up, you're going to hear my conversation with Thomas Powell, who fights this week, LFA 95. He's going to be taking on Alex Pereira, the kickboxing, you know, everyone knows Alex from his kickboxing days, but here is my conversation with Thomas Powell. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be a part of LFA 95. Come up here on November the 20th is Thomas Powell. Thomas, man, I appreciate your time, man. It's a Friday afternoon here, 2 weeks out from your fight, man. So how you feeling with 2 weeks out from this fight?
Man, first thing I just like to say, glory be to the Most High, you know, my Lord and Savior. I feel very blessed. I feel wonderful, you know. I feel as though like it's going exactly how I want it to go, you know. So I'm all in. I'm all in at this point. I'm game right now.
I mean, as your these final 2 weeks in your preparation, what does that look like? You know, because you know some fighters say, you know, hey, I kind of, you know, sparring kind of starts to die down at a certain point. How do you kind of work your schedule in the last 14 days before a fight?
Honestly, I'm keeping the same energy. You know what I mean? I'm keeping the same intensity. I'm keeping. I've been cruising, man. I have a certain calm about me that right now is a piece that only God could give somebody. You know what I mean? When you know something that everybody else don't know, you're peaceful. You know what I mean? So right now I'm peaceful. You know, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing I've been doing. I can't really, you know, give too much away, but I'm training hard and that's it. That's about it.
In terms of being peaceful, is this something you've always had throughout your career, or did it take time for you?
It took a lot of time to get in the space that I am now, you know, to know what real inner peace is and where it comes from, and how you get that and try to live like a peaceful man. You know, it took as a peaceful man. I mean, it took a while. It took a while for me to get to this point right now, a very long time. And I'm grateful that I'm here right now. Very, very grateful that I'm here right now. I'm not taking nothing for granted, taking in every moment. And just knowing that this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah.
And you've been fighting professionally since 2016. What drew you to martial arts? Was it, were you involved in martial arts as a kid?
No, not at all. I actually played football in high school for like 4 years. And I always wanted to box, but, you know, I was very skinny as a kid, very skinny. And so I was kind of looked at as fragile, but I was really far from it, you know. But as I grew up, a buddy of mine actually used to do it. And he tried to convince me to do it. And I'm like, nah, man, somebody kicked me in my face. We're going to take it another route, you know. But I started boxing at, like, the age of 18. And from there on, I'm just like, you know what, man? God has blessed me with long arms, long legs. So, therefore, I'm going to utilize it, you know. And that was it. Never looked back.
In terms of, you mentioned about playing football in high school. What's the best attribute you believe you brought from the gridiron to mixed martial arts, Matt?
It's the mental, definitely the mental. You know, that I'm going to outwork you mentality. You're not going to outwork me, and I'm willing to die on this field before I let you win. You know what I mean? You got to have that grit. You're going to have that grind, you know what I mean, to outwork. When it comes down to it, even your teammates, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it is a competition, you know what I mean? So you're going to have that spirit that no man could possibly outwork me. I'm going to outwork you. Not just to outwork, but I'm going to do it, like, mentally, physically, emotionally. I'm going to do it in every aspect of life, so. Yeah, that's definitely the biggest attribute I brought.
Did you get the diamond nickname on the football field, or did that come once you made your transition to mixed martial arts?
Oh no, that's actually my real name. I'm originally from Monrovia, Liberia. That's in West Africa, near Ghana, Nigeria, near Sierra Leone. It's a very interesting story behind that name. You know, as you know, there's a lot of diamond mines and gold mines back home. Mm-hmm. So, we'll get into that story on another day. But that's actually my real name, and I feel as though, you know, God gave me that name because it represents me very, very, very well.
In terms of for the fans who've maybe this is their first time getting to hear you and they're going to see you part of this LFA show, what would you want those fans to know about you?
That, man, I would love them to know that, you know, that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, don't ever look down on yourself and think that, you know what I mean, God can't use me, or it's over for me, or I'm useless, or this, that, and the third. No matter your circumstances, no matter what, you know, as long as you put your trust and your faith in God, He is faithful. He don't sleep. So therefore, He knows your heart desire. Once you have that faith and that trust, anything is possible. You know, that's one thing I really want them to know about me. I'm a very, you know, spiritual person. I'm into the things of God. You know, and I believe He is my light and my salvation. So therefore, I don't do nothing without Him going before me. And I just wanna get on a higher platform. You know what I mean? To be able to speak life into the people who are drained right now and give hope to the hopeless. That's really why I'm doing this. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love this. It's a passion of mine. You know, but you can have more than one passion. So. I want them to know that, and I honestly believe they will find out. They're about to find out.
And you got Alex here here at LFA. What's your thoughts on Alex as a opponent, and what do you believe is the biggest strengths he's going to bring to the cage here in 2 weeks?
Alex is I'm happy for that man. I'm not even going to sit here and lie. I'm happy for him and his accomplishments. You know, I'm very happy for him. And like I said, once again, I'm blessed to be stepping in that cage with him, because at the end of the day, man, not many people could say, oh, man, I fought a world champion, or I fought Alex Vieira, or, you know what I mean? A lot of people are afraid of their own shadow. So my thoughts on him is that, hey, brother, thanks for winning this fight. You know what I mean? And let's just get it on. His strongest attribute, it's going to be what he always brings, you know, his mentality, I guess. Honestly speaking, my mind is not on him. And it's not that I'm looking past him or anything, but my mind is not on him at all. My mind is not really on him. I already know the outcome of the fight. I already know how this is going to play out. You know what I mean? So I'm thankful. I'm just thankful, and I'm just really grateful.
What do you believe your key to victory is?
Man. Honestly speaking, I'm just we gonna keep that on the wraps. You know, we're gonna keep that on the wraps. Yeah, I give God.
I get you.
Yeah, we gonna y'all gonna find out right after the fight when they interview, and they gonna ask me a certain question, and you're going to find out.
We got to tune in to LFA 95 on UFC Fight Pass to find out. But I really appreciate time. Good luck here in the matchup. Of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media. And, of course, anything else you want to mention, man, the floor is yours.
Yeah, definitely, man. Just follow me on Instagram at Thomas Powell. The only thing I can really say is that I'm really grateful, and I really want to thank LFA. I want to thank you. I want to thank my training partners. I want to thank my boy Travis for introducing me to White Eye Promotions. I want to thank Sean himself, you know, for stepping out there and really getting me this fight, man. And I'm very grateful for everything that's going on right now. And I'm glory be to the Most High, man, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man, who died on that cross of Calvary for my sins, brother. I'm grateful, and I'm happy for what's about to take place. It's been, I can't really say long overdue, but it's the right time for everything to occur, how it's going to play out. Thank you so much for the interview. Thank you all.
Appreciate the time there from Thomas Powell. Good luck to him coming here this week, LFA 95, as he takes on Alex Bahia. We got one interview left here on this edition of the podcast, and that is with Dwight Matters. He is an amateur heavyweight out of Jackson Wink MMA. I've had this is now the second time I've had a chance to talk to Dwight. So spoke to him about his amateur heavyweight title fight coming up here this week at Cage Aggression. Also, whether or not this will be his final amateur fight. Joining me now here on the MMA Report, the man is going to fight for the amateur heavyweight title, Cage Aggression number 29, here on November 20th. White Matter, so White Matter, appreciate the time. It's been about a year since we talked to you. We had a chance to get to know each other, and of course, you had that fight in January, but you know, this is the first fight since January, man. Obviously, right. I mean, you know, 2020's been a different year for all of us, but you as a martial artist and you know a guy that's working his way out to becoming a professional fighter, how do you describe this year for yourself?
It's been challenging, man. It's been interesting, challenging, fun, learning how, like, you know, having your sort of survival skills and making sure you're still able to do what you're doing is kind of hard, especially with everything that's going on in the world. But you know, when you find something that you really, really are passionate about and really, really want to do, you just keep doing it no matter what. And I mean, that's all I've been doing is learning, rather been by like looking at classes, by looking at film, by looking at going out and doing stuff. I've just been an active individual, so it's been fun for me, being able to take a step back from life and like not having to work so much, not having to do all the things that I had all those responsibilities to do, and just focusing on training and fighting and learning more and more each day. So it's been fun.
You mentioned learning is a word that came up a couple of times when you were talking there. So like, as you think about, you know, the last 10 months or so, what would you say is the biggest learning lesson you've taken in terms of being a martial artist?
You just let time go with it. You know, you can't rush time, and you just have to have every, you know, you got to be okay with learning new things and learning from everyone that's in the room and learning from your past mistakes and growing as a person and seeing what those mistakes were. And you're able to just, hey, you know what, this is it. This was a learning curve, and you take it. Either you could grow from it, or you could just sit here and be like, no, I'm all right. I'll just do this. I'll just do that. But you just got to keep on growing. And that's what I chose to do as a martial artist. I was learning from everyone that's in the room. I believe that everyone has some type of knowledge, especially at Jackson Wink where I'm at. That room is full of killers, full of everyone that's just on the hustle, on the grind.
You know, we all deal with adversity in one way or another. We all have our kind of our unique way. For you, is it one of those things of, yeah, it's one step backwards, but I'm always constantly looking to step forward? Or are you kind of like, as a fighter, you're always like, okay, I got to look at the missteps to progress forward?
Exactly. I have to take a step back and see what's going on. What was going on in my daily routine and my daily life to see what's been holding me back or what was cutting me back. And I like to do a lot of things. I'm a man. I had so much on my plate at that time, like, you know, 10 months ago where I was at. And with this pandemic, I was able to just cut back and relax and just focus on what I have to do and see what's the bad habits I have. What were some of my bad habits and see how I could learn to grow from that. So that's all I've been really trying to do, is just seeing what were my bad habits, what made me who I was back then, and to make me a better version of me so I could go out there and perform better.
Look, I totally understand if you don't want to say what those bad habits were, but was there one bad habit that you realize, I got to get this out? I got to get this out of my life?
I wasn't sleeping enough. That was one of my biggest things. I wasn't doing good recovery. I wasn't doing none of that. I was piling so much on my life. Like, I was working here, I was doing this, I was training like 6 hours a day, going to my other jobs, going here, going there, and I took sleeping for granted. I didn't realize how important, how much sleep is needed, and especially in the work that I do. Like, beforehand, when I was younger, like, I was able to, you know, be like, all right, 3-4 hours of sleep, I'm ready to go, let's go. But as you're getting older, you're starting to realize, like, no, you actually do need those 8 hours of sleep, and you need those times to relax. And I never found the balance of that. I was just always on the go, on the go, on the go. I was working nighttime jobs. I was doing security. And I was training like 6 to 8 hours a day, going to my jobs. And I was like waking up at 6 in the morning because I'm early bird, going to bed at like 5 a.m. So I was up for almost near 23 hours. And that's how my entire weeks would go. I would just like keep burning myself out. And then I started realizing I was burning myself out with a lot of things, you know? So then I was able to take a step back and breathe and be like, hold on a second.
Yeah, I know. It's right when you said that, it's made me think of these conversations I've had with, you know, various coaches in athletics. And they talk about like when they, you know, when people talk about recovery, you know, like in today's age, you maybe think of going to the cryotherapy tank, or maybe it's getting a massage, yeah, or whatever you may do. But they all say it's like, no one talks about how important sleep is, how you got to get those 6, 7, 8 hours, because that's ultimately one of the best ways to help your body recover.
Yeah, and that was the thing too. Like when I was younger, I used to work a lot, and I used to have a hustle mentality. Like I always want to hustle, I always want to do stuff, I always want to progress, because I don't like just sitting around and just staying there. But you know, when we're busting 8 to 6 hours a day in training, and then like not giving my body that time to recover, it's just like, yo, all right, like you're gonna get hurt, you're gonna get hurt. And I was like, I was realizing that I was injuring myself a whole lot more. Because I never took recovery so serious. Like, I mean, I'll foam roll, I'll stretch, and I'll do that all perfectly. But the sleeping part was the one that killed me the most, where I was just all like, why am I feeling so fatigued? And it's only Tuesday.
But now you got this a title fight here at Cage Aggression 29, amateur heavyweight title fight. Marty, your opponent, 6-1 in his career. You know, kind of what's the mentality heading into this one for you?
I'm gonna go out there and have fun. I'm excited to go out there and perform with someone that has a high level. He's 6-1. That means, you know, we're both at the peak where we're both about to make that transition and going pro. I'm excited for it. It's gonna be a great fight. I feel like, you know, I haven't stopped training since the pandemic has started. I've still been active. I've still been able to watch film, watch old fights, get my motivation from that, get some inspiration from that. I was able to go back to California and train with some of my old coaches one-on-one. And it's been fun. I mean, especially with a group of guys at Jackson's, we're just, everyone's hungry right now. So it's been fun getting that in.
In terms of Marty's abilities, as you look at him and you're like, okay, man, he does this well, doesn't do this well. And, you know, the cliche is always, I like this fight for X reason. Why do you like this matchup for yourself so much?
Oh, he's an aggressive fighter. He likes to come out. He likes to do his wrestling, or he's a brawler. And the way I see it is like, he looks like a Brock Lesnar, right? He's going to come out swinging, just trying to take me down and try to hold me down and try to do submissions. I mean, he's won a submission. He has a good record. But I mean, hey, he's not no one to compare to what I train at Jackson's, right? Like everyone that I train at Jackson's, I mean, there's some set of killers there that you always got to be in your P's and Q's. And yeah, man, it's going to be a fun fight. I'm excited. I'm excited to see how I do. I'm excited to see how my stand-up does with him. I'm excited to see what my wrestling is like, because that's something that I've been working on a lot.
For you, is it fight night's the easy part? Because you're like, man, I walk into that room at Jackson Wink, and you know, there's this fighter with disabilities, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, is that the way you look at it? It's like, man, fight night's the easy night.
Easy. Oh yeah, man. Fighting is the most easiest thing. It's just that whole anticipation, all getting there, you know, getting prepared for it. I say preparing for a fight is always the hardest part, but once you're done with the hardest part, the fighting part is easy. You already did all the work, right? Like I have enough confidence in myself to be like, yo, like, If I wasn't that good, or if I wasn't good, I wouldn't have been able to survive with those killers that are at Jackson Wink. Like I was like, you know, at this point in my life, I'm confident in myself that I'm able to go in there and have fun, man. It's fight nights are just great for me. They're fun.
You know, obviously amateur fighting, you mentioned you're getting to that point where it's about to cross over to professional. Has that decision been made of, is this your final amateur fight, or is it, I want to see how this thing goes, and then myself and my coaches will then make that decision?
No, I believe that this is going to be the next step forward, is to go pro. I've been in the game for a while now. I want to get as much experience in, and I'm at the point where it's like, you know what, it's time to do that switch. I just wanted to get so much experience in as much as I can, but due to this pandemic, I haven't been able to get to that point. But like I said, training at Jackson's has been amazing for me. It's like everyone out there does not play. It's, you know, it's a good gym. And I feel like I'm ready for that next step.
And of course, we'll see the next step here. But first up, it is November 20th, Cage Aggression number 29, amateur heavyweight title matchup to White Man. I appreciate time. And of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been helping me, all the support that I've been getting. I want to give a huge shout out to all my sponsors, Alpha Outpost, Bloom Hemp. I want to give a huge shout out to Sean White, my Whiteout Promotions, my manager, for getting me online with this. And come check me out. November 20th, I'm going to be fighting for the heavyweight belt and be getting a new belt, bringing it back to Albuquerque and going back to California, back and forth, man. All the support from here to there. I love you guys all. Thank you, guys.
And there you have my conversation with Dwight Matters. Appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his matchup here. Cage Aggression 29 as he fights for the amateur heavyweight title. Also want to thank Thomas, Zach, and Lewis all coming on this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, new episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, it is available there. Of course, coming up on Wednesday, the next episode of the MMA Report podcast, we are going to get you ready for UFC 255. Okay, we'll take a look back at what happened this week in mixed martial arts. Of course, we had a Bellator card and a UFC card, so we'll talk to you about that and kind of give our top headlines of what we've seen and, of course, get you ready for UFC 255. Of course, be sure to check out the MMAReport.com daily as we do try to put up new pieces of original content daily up on the website. I will tell you, those interviews that were on this podcast are also done in video form. Those will be on the podcast, on the website. Also, I'll let you know, I talked to Parker Porter, who's going to be making his second UFC fight here at the end of the month. Good conversation with him. That'll be coming up here this week on the MMAReport.com, plus plenty of other coverage. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which the interview edition of the podcast comes out every Sunday on RadioInfluence.com.
This is a Valor Hour with Tim Loy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Man, slobberknocker. We got a performance of the night out of this next one. The 220-pound catchweight John Hampton from Agogi Combatives comes out and just absolutely trades leather with Antonio Holt from Boyd Brothers MMA. Both guys hurt the other guy in the round, but ultimately John Hampton able to start accumulating some damage over Antonio Holt with his when he had him pressed up against the cage, and he was out on his feet. He was unconscious on his feet. He never went down, but he was certainly out. And so we got a TKO stoppage at 239 of round one. I'm gonna go back to you, Greg, on this one, since this is your teammate. I'll let you talk on this one. I know you were standing up for this one.
Oh yeah, I was excited for this one because we knew Antonio Holt was a tough cat, and we knew that the fight he had prior to this with the 0-1 loss against Jenny Torres may or may not have been a fluke, but we know that it was going to be a banger. John Hampton coming in green, first fight. We knew that he was a big boy, and he was looking for the knockout because he's seen the blueprint to beat him is to just knock the hell out of him. And but I'm going to make this a short and sweet. That was a scary fight. You know, from a teammate's perspective, it was a scary fight, but it was an exciting fight for everybody because, every which way point in time was the definition of sports, like of what a sport is. Like, you can, at one point in time, you can have hope, and then the very next moment you had despair, but then guess what? Oh, you have hope again and then despair. And that went back and forth for both guys. So it was like a range of emotions and a roller coaster, and it deserved every award we have for the night. And both guys deserved it because that, in my opinion, was probably fight of the night. Maybe other than, I don't know. I think it does beat every fight. We'll get more later, but I think it does. And with that being said, Antonio Holt is one of the most effective 0-2 that we will have at lightweight, going around.
Valor Hour with Valor Fighting Challenge matchmaker Tim Loy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.